Welcome to KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio's Community Conversations Radio Show. Our special guest for this program is Eric Bryant. I'm your show host, Connie Hunter. And Eric Bryant is running for Curry County's District Attorney against D.A. Dial, who is seeking re-election to that position. Welcome, candidate Eric. Our format is on Community Conversations is conversational, and we aim to reach a broad audience and hopefully some first-time voters. So thanks for being here today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Connie.
I know we had a little bit of discussion just before we started this interview and an attempt at an interview where we had some technical difficulties, but I wanted you to just quickly self-introduce and talk a little bit about your interest in our first-time voters.
All right. Well, my name is Eric Bryant, of course, and I have a huge interest in getting first-time voters to sign up. I've already signed up 35 new voters to register. I hope to keep that going. I hope to motivate young people to get out and vote. I think I have a message that really appeals to them. I care about them, and I want them to do well. So I really hope to get a bunch of first-time voters out there to vote.
And a little bit more about Eric Bryant, a little background about who is the real Eric Bryant.
All right. Well, I've been an attorney since 2007 in Oregon. I got my California license in 2011. I'm a former Curry County prosecutor. I worked in the DA's office for a little bit less than a year. I run a private practice here in Brookings, helping out all sorts of different situations. People call with all sorts of different problems. Some I tell them I can't help them. Others I do help them. I've been appearing a lot in California courts lately. Another thing, I really believe in nonprofits. I was on the board of the Curry County Animal Shelter for 3 years. I was the president for 2 years. I've been on the board of the Checo Activity Center for almost 4 years now, and that is such a jewel of an organization and does a lot of good for the community. So I really believe in local nonprofits. That's another thing.
In fact, you were just at the Nonprofit Leaders Luncheon today, and I saw you at the Checo Activity Center. So your support and love of nonprofits is definitely a gift, and I wanted you to know that that's something that KCIW is very proud of, being a nonprofit radio station. So thank you for taking your time today. I want to get to more of the nuts and bolts to make sure that we really get a good idea of what your platform is as you run for that position of district attorney.
The main thing I want to do is do a better job on these serious crimes that happen here in Curry County. I don't think a home invasion robbery should be pled way down and being offered probation. I think justice is not served many times in some serious cases. Stepping in there, toughening up the position that the state takes in these prosecutions is really going to help justice. It's going to help victims. It's going to protect the community. At the same time, I also want to recognize that lots of people that go through our court system are good people. They're our neighbors. They make mistakes. I want to tell them that even though you go through our court system, you're still part of our community. I want you to fix whatever problem you were going through. I want you to get better. I want you to contribute to your community. I want you to be a good family person. And I want you to just get better and do the best that you can for yourself. Because once you're doing better, then the rest of the community won't need to worry about you and the problems that you were causing.
So I really appreciate you saying that because of the, and I have to self-disclose here, I do sit on the advisory board, the mental health advisory board for Curry Community Health. And we know that sometimes, like you said, people make mistakes, they get some help and support, and the system helps direct them to those resources. So because of our first-time voters, I probably need to ask you to do one thing more, and that's just talk a little bit about exactly what does a county attorney do.
All right. Well, I think everyone knows what the police do, and they investigate crime. They respond to incidents involving public safety. But that's not the end of it, of course. They write reports. People get arrested. And those reports and those people who get arrested, their files get forwarded to the district attorney. And it's up to the district attorney to figure out what to do with those cases. So part of it is figuring out whether any laws were broken at all. Obviously, you don't want someone that did not commit a crime to be dragged through the system. And that's something really important. You've got to identify whether someone actually did not break the law. For other people that do break the law, they end up getting a case filed against them in court. They get an appearance. And then it can go many different directions from there based on what happened, what their history is. Sometimes even what their attitude is, whether they show remorse. That can affect how the case gets handled.
If I were going to ask you what a typical day at the office for the county's district attorney would look like, can you tell me? Because there's a lot of work involved.
Oh, there is. I expect to be working 60 hours a week, for sure. I'll probably get there at 7:30 in the morning, see who was arrested the night before, learn a bit about their case, prepare it for filing. That court appearance will be in the morning. Then there will be a whole bunch of other court appearances on other cases where the person might not actually be in custody. And those will all happen in the morning. There might be a trial scheduled that day. So a jury would come and evaluate the case and declare guilty or not guilty. So those trials can take a whole day or they can take 2 days. They can take a week even. But if there's no trial going on, the rest of the day will be spent reviewing those police reports, interviewing witnesses, interviewing victims. I hope to spend a lot of time talking to community groups, figuring out what their needs are, what their concerns are, and just figuring out a way to solve problems that are really affecting our community right now. We need to make a dent in this drug problem that's going on. We need more access to mental health services. Anything I can do to get in there, have a voice, represent the people, and make our community a little bit safer, I'm all for it.
I think one of the things that I learned most about you in our just conversations over time is that really changing the narrative around drug problems in our community and our county is huge. And I know that meth is a problem. We know that heroin's a problem. With recreational marijuana being legalized, some people say that the drug problem will get worse. Some people think it'll get better. What do you think, Eric?
You know, the drug problem is extremely complicated. But I do know what's not being done is we're not doing enough follow-up after the case is closed. Right now in the district attorney's office, they go through the case process. They get a conviction or they do a diversion. And the DA's office then isn't really involved in that case unless the person is back in court because they violated probation. What I want to do is continue to help, continue to be accessible to people. I want people to be able to come up to me and Fred Meyer, tell me about their problems. Let's figure out a way to help you. Let's get you going in the right direction. Let's make you a productive citizen. So I don't think washing your hands of a case after a conviction is appropriate in a small town. I think we really need to do more for these people.
You know, what that looks like to me is a little bit of prevention, a little bit of intervention, and what we call postvention, which is really the model for dealing with mental health issues and problem solving in general. So I'm glad you made and highlighted that point.
Yeah.
Because I think that's huge.
My job will not be done upon a conviction. There's going to be more work to do.
The one thing that I appreciate about you in our conversation is you have a pretty good idea about what the top issues that need to be addressed in Curry County. And as the elected district attorney, if you were in a position to give us the top five priorities, what do you think they would be? Just in terms of organizing the district attorney's office differently, or in terms of focus and the different obstacles that you want to address?
Well, my number one priority is to toughen up on these really serious crimes that occur. I want to stop the practice of giving really weak plea deals to people that prey on society, prey on vulnerable victims. I don't think the right message gets sent when you give an offer of probation for someone that does a home invasion robbery. I want to stop those practices. I also think we need to do more to punish those that commit low-level offenses. Right now, oftentimes, they commit a low-level offense, they get the conviction, but the offense is so low that the judge won't want to send them to jail, like shoplifting, for instance. So they get the conviction on their record. They get sent on their way. But their debt to society is not really paid with that. So right now, what our justice system is lacking is a functional community service program. We don't have one here. That exists pretty much everywhere else in the country. But we don't have a community service program here. And I think as a district attorney, I can use my relationship with relationships with nonprofits and find out where the needs are and get these offenders to contribute to nonprofits or maybe local government that will accept volunteers and have them develop relationships with people that are doing good for the community. Maybe offenders are only hanging out with other people that commit crimes. I think putting them in a different environment would really do a lot for both the offender and for the nonprofit. There's just a void that is not being filled right now, and I think I can fill it. You asked for five. I want to stop.
You can stop at three if you want. But
well, I'll go with three. I want to stop some of the spending practices that have gone on. You know, the county has promoted employees of the DA's office to deputy DA level 2 when they didn't have the experience under the county's own job description for that. We've given someone a demotion and a pay raise at the same time. I think that sends the complete wrong message to the taxpayers. Because as a county, we're always hearing how broke we are. And then we make these spending decisions that completely defy logic. Pay a paralegal more than you should pay an entry-level prosecutor. These things need to stop. The people need more fiscal responsibility from their DA's office. And I'm going to give it to them.
And number three, and I'll go back to talk about each one if you want.
Oh, I thought that was three.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe it is.
It was. The first one was toughening up on these serious crimes. The second one was community service for low-level offenders so they don't just get away with their crimes. And three is let's restore some fiscal responsibility to the DA's office.
That's why he's running for DA and I'm not. I can't even keep track of one through three. But anyway, I have a little bit of a head cold, so I can claim that as an excuse. But I want to go back to the community service part of things, because I want to tell a real quick story about a niece who got a minor in possession of alcohol offense, and she had to do community service. As a result, she turned her life around. She graduated cum laude from Washington State University, and guess what her major was? Law enforcement.
Great.
So great. I guess they call it criminal justice.
Yeah.
And so she's doing great, and the community service, as you said, can take a person out of a situation where they only hang with a certain group of people and put them with another group of people, and what? They have different role models, too.
Exactly.
And that's something that you mentioned before, and I really appreciated that, because in my family, community service made a big difference.
And that will change lives. Absolutely.
What can you tell us about the hardest case you've ever tried, Eric?
Well, let's see here. I think I've done about a dozen jury trials. Some of them were pretty serious cases. I remember one was a domestic violence, felony assault. And that was just extremely difficult. Domestic violence cases have strong emotional components to them. They're just tough cases all around. But we brought this case to trial. And I told the victim, I will get you justice. And that's what happened. It was just a great experience. Her offender went to prison. She said thank you, gave me a hug after. That was such a rewarding thing to do. That's just the best feeling, is getting justice for a victim, for a true victim, for a victim that was honestly helpless at the time. Telling them you're going to get justice and then following through on that, that is what I live for.
And domestic violence victims so often feel like they lose their voice. And as you're saying that, I can see that you understood that and gave voice to that situation. So that's a hard one. Domestic violence issues are tough stuff. So let's go a little bit on the lighter side, I did interview D.A. Dial, and he wanted to talk about one of the funniest cases that he had. So I give you a choice. You want to tell us about the weirdest case or the funniest case, or both?
You've
ever had.
You know, I just don't think crime is all that funny, to be honest. But yeah, there are people that are drunk, people that are on drugs. They do weird things on video, often on the police dash cam or the police body cam. Yeah, you can laugh at it. I'm more interested in solving the problem, getting justice, making sure that the future is better. You know, I guess you call those cases funny. And there are times to laugh in the DA's office, but it's really a serious job.
I'm glad you made that point. What would you say to voters that would encourage them to vote during this upcoming election? People get frustrated and they think their vote doesn't matter. What would you say to
this is the first time since the year 2000 that voters in Curry County have had a choice on who they vote for district attorney. So in 2000, it was John Spicer running against Charles Stake. And then in 2004, Alexandria Strike ran unopposed. 2008, Everett Dial ran unopposed. 2012, Everett Dial ran unopposed. I was this close to filing in 2012, but I did not. And here I am this time, giving the DA his first challenge. I would say that it's an important election for people to participate in because we have two very different candidates. I think we have two slightly different approaches to how to solve these community problems. I'm not going to quit once their conviction is entered. I think there's more work to do after that. We've got to get these people on the right track, and not everything can be done inside of a courtroom.
And I think that's an echo of what you mentioned before. And I think, again, those first-time voters, and you told me a little bit about your efforts to register, and you have a personal goal to help new voters get registered. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah.
Because I think that's wonderful.
Oh, I've registered 35 new voters so far. I would like to get that number up to 100. You know, so far I've only targeted people that I know and friends of friends. So I think that there's a lot of people out there that may not have felt compelled to participate in the system before, in the voting system. But I think a lot of people are going to participate this time. They want to have a voice, and I'm telling them that your voice will matter. You can come up to me at Fred Meyer and talk to me about crime. You can ask me how I handled a case and why, and I'll answer those questions. I'll be a completely accessible district attorney. I'll be visible in South County. I'll be visible in North County. I'll be out and about everywhere. You will see a DA's office that wants to do more. A DA's office that has high energy. A DA's office that values competence. I just think that there is such a huge unmet need for someone that wants to get in there and try to tackle these huge problems that our community is facing. And I think I can make a dent. I think I can help.
Anything else you want to tell our listeners about Eric Bryant as a person and really that part of you, that the reason you're running for district attorney is more than becoming district attorney? I can see that in your efforts in the community. You want to talk about that a little bit, Eric?
Yeah, I've volunteered hundreds of hours for local nonprofits. I believe in volunteerism. I believe in community service. I believe in helping people. I believe in trying to make the community a better place. Obviously, Curry County has some problems. We're not the wealthiest area. We do have a huge drug problem. We have lots of people in their 20s that really don't have any direction, I would say. But I want to tell them that they do have a voice, that they do have a place in Curry County, that their future is bright, that their government does care about them, and that I'm going to always look for ways to help. So that's what I want to do.
Well, civic engagement is something that I know is important to getting people involved in general, but our younger voters and our first-time voters, it's kind of hard to get them civically engaged. So one of the things that happens in going to these public meetings and different meetings is you see the same faces over and over again. And I know there have been efforts to try and get young people involved. And as a role model, what can you do besides going and registering people and getting people to come out to meetings? What other thing can you do?
Well, as a district attorney, I can be accessible. I can be talking to everyone I see in Fred Meyer. I can go up to people I've seen in court, talk to them, ask how they're doing, see if there's any unmet need that maybe a nonprofit or some other community resource can help out with. There's just so much to do, so much work that needs to be done. It's really going to take someone with energy to get in there and make things happen. I just think the sky's the limit for what could be accomplished here.
And having a really good understanding of the social service network and the nonprofits that support social services is a huge key, I think. And of course, your involvement with nonprofits. You can talk a little bit more about that if you'd like.
Well, I'm really proud of the work I've done for nonprofits. In 2012, Catherine Powers asked me to help her implement her vision of having a private animal shelter instead of a government-run animal shelter. So I was fortunate to be the attorney for the nonprofit that co-wrote the agreement with the county that would privatize the animal shelter. So once that monumental task was achieved, we all celebrated, and then I was on the board. I was one of the board members. And then a year later, I was made president of the board, where I served for 2 years. 5 days after I became president, we suffered a great loss. Catherine Power suddenly passed away, and we had to figure out how to keep the animal shelter going. There's a 3-month transition period where I had to lead this organization through it. And you know, I'm proud of the work we did. We found a great executive director, and Mark has been there, I want to say, 18 months now. It's been great. He is a phenomenal person, and the animal shelter is doing really well.
One thing that I attended the Board of Commissioners meeting was when he accepted that position and you were there, and I remember you talking about your commitment and your work with the animal shelter. And at that time, I realized something about Eric that I didn't know before, is that if there is a crisis situation, like the stuff at the activity center with the some problems with funding and so forth, had to be sorted through, had to go through it, and you were involved in helping get the activity center, formerly the senior center, on going in the right direction with fiscal responsibility. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I love the Checo Activity Center. It's just such an important nonprofit for this community. But yeah, earlier last year, I guess August of 2015, we had some very serious meetings about our budget. And the board did not have any sort of agreement on how to fix the problem. I said, we need to make cuts. And I took that position. We need to cut. The rest of the board was not with me on that point at that time. So I was on the minority end of some 8-1 or 7-2 votes. But I believed in my position. And talking to people over the next few weeks, one by one, other board members aligned with the position I had taken. And we did make cuts. And we did right the ship. The Checo Activity Center is doing much better now. We are being more proactive in seeking out new revenue sources. We cut our budget immensely, and all nonprofits need more money. No nonprofit should say, we're doing the best we can. We're doing great right now. We do need more money, but the crisis is over. No one's talking about us shutting down.
And I heard that just today at lunch, because we were at the Activity Center for the Nonprofit Leaders Luncheon, that 100 lunches were served today. So things are turning around. But when there is a fiscal crisis, just having to roll up your sleeves and stand your ground and make those hard choices and be a leader in that position is not easy to do, especially if, like you said, you were the minority position to begin with.
Yeah. So with respect to the DA's office, our county situation is, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. People are always talking about how there's no money, that cuts are going to have to be made. I think I'll be able to handle it.
Transferable skill.
Put that burden on my back when we have to make cuts, and we'll get through it. We'll keep Curry County safe, even in spite of massive budget cuts.
I don't want to leave anything out, and I know we haven't talked about Wally's House, and Wally's House is going to be a nonprofit itself, spinning off from the DA's office. But the function of the Wally's House has always been under the DA responsibilities. And that's a hard subject because it includes children. You want to talk a little bit about that function that the DA office has in dealing with children who have been abused?
Yeah, occasionally in Curry County, we will get some very sick individuals that will prey on children. They need to be held accountable, but you have to build a case in order for you to be able to hold them accountable. So the witness has to be interviewed. The witness is a child. He's vulnerable, emotional, stressed out, facing a crisis. That child needs a safe place to be interviewed, a place where they feel safe, where they are not having to go through their crisis alone. They need support, and Wally's House helps give them support, so I appreciate that.
In our previous attempt to interview Eric because of a technical difficulty, a piece of that that I want to revisit is that Wally's House provides a comfort zone, and I think those were your words. I don't know whose words they were, but that's the point, a place where a child who has been victimized can get medical treatment and be interviewed, and that's very, very tough stuff. And so I'm glad you put it in the perspective that, you know what, children are sacred, that children need that extra safety net, and bringing that up and making it a point to address that as district attorney. I know that's always been close to your heart, and I wish we had all of the information that we had already talked about so that we don't leave anything out this time. So I wanted to look at Wally's House and the function of the DA's office in relationship with Wally's House. So thank you for talking about that hard subject. With that in mind, Eric, anything else that you want people to know about your high energy commitment to serve the people of Curry County as district attorney if you're elected?
I think we really need to be expecting more from a district attorney's office in Curry County. We need a DA who is out in the community all year long, the whole duration of a term, not just during election season. We need a DA that is out meeting with community leaders constantly, willing to even speak with people that went through the court system. Might brand them as criminals, but other people see them as neighbors, family members, employees even. We need to figure out how to get these low-level offenders integrated back into society, help them where you can, and turn them into productive people. We are going to be safer when people turn their lives around, and I want to play a huge role in that wherever I can.
One thing that I really appreciated about this opportunity to interview both you and Everett Dial, Eric, is that I have a better understanding of how the DA's office works, but also of the level of commitment that you have, that any DA has to make to do the job and do, and it's the tough stuff of the job too. So, thank you for taking time to talk with us today on Curry Coast Community Radio and Community Conversations, because I think if we don't understand how important the DA's office is to Curry County, that maybe we don't understand how our law enforcement system works in general. So, Eric, I'm very grateful to have had you here and wish you luck. As they say, may the best candidate win. I hope we can talk to you again sometime soon about some of the other projects you're involved with,
okay,
too.
Sure.
And thank you for coming out to the Homeless Resources event that the League of Women Voters had the other night at Southwestern Oregon Community College and participating as an audience member. And, you know, you and I've had conversations about homelessness and issues around homelessness. So thank you for staying active and being a good role model. And also, thank you for having that emphasis on first-time voters. Last chance. Any more new news?
I appreciate you having me here, Connie. There is about 2 months more in the election season. I'm going to have plenty of time to get out there and talk to people. Let me know if you have any more questions. I really want to be accessible to the voters during election season and after election season. So I'm going to keep up this energy. And we'll see what happens on May 17th.
And you've got a full calendar in April, right?
Seems pretty full. I think we have 5 forums scheduled. Maybe more will be scheduled. I can't wait. I can't wait to get out there and spread my message.
Contact information. How can people get a hold of you who have questions, who want to chat with you, who want to set up a time for you to come and speak to their organization?
Yeah, they can reach me on Facebook or they can just call me. My phone number is all over the internet. It's 541-441-2285.
Well, thank you for your candor and for sharing your ideas and experiences, and also for talking about the many hats that you wear. Always appreciate you, Eric.
Thanks so much, Connie. You do a good lot for the community, too. I appreciate you, too.
Takes one to know one. Thank you for joining us today on Community Conversations, and I want to give a little bit of credit where credit is due. We have a wonderful technician. I always call him my tech guy extraordinaire, and I'm going to call you just and only. Thank you for being you and for putting up with us and all of our foibles, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.
The opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.